the Supreme Lord Hari, his knowledge resulting in the complete suspension of the waves and whirlpools of the material modes. Such knowledge is self-satisfying due to its being free from material attachment, and being transcendental, it is approved by authorities. Who could fail to be attracted? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. According to Bhagavad Gita, the characteristics of pure devotees are wonderful. The complete functional activities of a pure devotee are always engaged in the service of the Lord. And thus the pure devotees exchange feelings of ecstasy between themselves and relish transcendental bliss. This transcendental bliss is experienced even in the stage of devotional practice, sadhana apashta. If properly undertaken under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, and in the mature stage, the developed transcendental feeling culminates in realization of the particular relationship with the Lord by which a living entity is originally constituted, up to the relationship of conjugal love with the Lord, which is estimated to be the highest transcendental bliss. Thus, bhakti yoga, being the only means of God realization, is called kaivalya. Srila Jiva Goswami quotes the Vedic version, Eko Narayano Deva Paravaranam Parama Asti Kaivalya Sangita. In this connection, and establishes that Narayan, the personality of Godhead, is known as Kaivalya, and the means which enables one to approach the Lord is called Kaivalya Pantha, or the only means of attainment of Godhead. This Kaivalya Pantha begins from Shravana, or hearing those topics that relate to the personality of Godhead, and the natural consequence of hearing such Harikatha is attainment of transcendental knowledge, which causes detachment from all mundane topics, for which a devotee has no taste at all. For a devotee, all mundane activities, social and political, become unattractive. And in the mature state, such a devotee becomes uninterested even in his own body, what to speak of bodily relatives. In such a state of affairs, one is not agitated by the waves of material modes. There are different modes of material nature and all mundane functions in which a common man is very much interested in, which he takes part, become unattractive for the devotee. This state of affairs is described herein as pratinivrita gunormi, and it is possible by atma prasad, or complete self satisfaction without any material connection. The first class devotee of the Lord attains the stage by devotional service, but despite his loftiness, for the Lord's satisfaction he may play the voluntary part of a preacher of the Lord's glory and dovetail all into devotional service, even mundane interest, just to give the neophytes a chance to transform mundane interest into transcendental bliss. Srila Rupa Goswami has described this action of a pure devotee as nirbhanda krishna sambandhe, yuktam vairagyam uchyate. Even mundane activities dovetailed with service to the Lord are also calculated to be transcendental or approved kaivalya affairs. Which is coming by its natural course in our progressive readings of Srimad Bhagavatam, is very appropriate on this most auspicious celebration of Sri Krishna Janamastami. Shukadev Goswami is here in describing to Maharaj Parikshit the nature of transcendental knowledge, how it eliminates all the miseries of material existence which are born of material attraction.
and how such transcendental knowledge, which is obtained by hearing from the proper sources, awakens a natural attraction for Krishna within the heart. And it is for this reason that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears within this material world. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo viti tattvata tyaktva deham punara janma naiti mam eti soraja. One who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities never takes birth in this material world again, but achieves my eternal abode. Krishna appears in this world to perform such beautiful pastimes and to establish the highest, purest truth, that from that point, those wonderful, wonderful narrations which have been written by Vyasadeva in the Vedas can be heard. And by hearing such transcendental pastimes, we can directly associate with the Lord. We can directly participate in the Lord's Leela. Because there is no difference between the sound vibration of Krishna, between the sound vibrations of His name and the descriptions of activities and Himself. This is Krishna Tattva, the truth of Krishna. He is the cause of all causes, Janmadya Shagata. From Him everything emanates. Parashya Shaktira Vivadaya Shuyate. The Supreme Absolute Truth is in His original form, has multifarious energies, and through these energies everything and everyone is existing. Krishna is the all-attractive source of all bliss, Satchit Ananda. He has an eternal form which is full of knowledge, and that form in the spiritual world is eternally engaging in loving pastimes with His associates. The everlasting loving relationship between Krishna and His parts and parcels is the highest attainment for any living entity to achieve. And that spiritual world is all conducted by His spiritual potency, or Yoga Maya. And that same potency manifests itself as Mahamaya when the Lord decides to manifest the material existence. Within the material existence, the Tathastha Shakti of the Jiva soul, marginal energy, is given this choice, given the choice of either engaging in the loving pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual world or trying to exploit the resources of the Lord's own energy in the material world. When the living entity wants to surrender to Krishna, that living energy is nourished, protected, and all its desires unlimitedly fulfilled by the Yoga Maya potency, the spiritual energy of the Lord. But when that living entity, part and parcel of Krishna, of the same constitutional nature as Krishna, but infinitesimal, decides that it wants to be apart from Krishna, to enjoy separate from Krishna, it is put under the control of this Maya Shakti, or the material energy. It is cast into this material world and then kept here by its own material desires. This material existence is compared to a prison house, and the bars of this prison is our own desire to stay here, birth after birth after birth after birth, being kicked again and again and again like a foolish ass. For what? Puna punash charavata charavananam, just to try to chew what we have already chewed through practically 8,400,000 species, we have been chewing and spitting it out and vomiting it out and eating it again and vomiting it out and eating it again and vomiting it out and eating it again. How many lives will we waste in this process? And Krishna, out of his mercy, out of his compassion, descends into this material existence just to attract our hearts back home, back to Godhead. Just to teach us the process of our natural position of loving servant. And this desire to serve the Lord is initially awakened by hearing the glories of the Lord. Harikatha is the most important part of one's life. Maharaj Parikshit, he was that great king, the emperor of the entire planet Earth. But when he understood he only had but 7 days to live, he decided, what is most important in life is what I will do. What is most important for people in this world is generally eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and creating a nice social or family environment by which we can enjoy these pleasures. But Maharaj Parikshit, he gave up eating, he gave up sleeping. Obviously, he gave up mating and defending. He put down all of his weapons. He even left his comfortable home and all of his loving relatives to spend his life exclusively for the highest purpose in the association of great Vaishnavas and self-realized soul to hear the glories of Krishna, Krishna Katha. Shukadev Goswami was chosen to narrate. He described through the first 9 cantos the wonderful, wonderful nature of the Supreme Godhead, how he creates this material existence. He described the most profound philosophy of the absolute truth, the material energy, the living entities, karma, time, and all of their interrelationships. He described the wonderful, wonderful pastimes of the most surrendered souls, such as the Pandavas, and Dhruva Maharaj, and Prahlad Maharaj, and Ambarish Maharaj, and so many other great souls. And in the 9th canto, he began to explain the family lineage of the Yadu dynasty. And then he came to the 10th canto. Maharaj Parikshit was very anxious to hear about the advent of Krishna. Knowing him to be Swayam Bhagavan, in the 1st canto, Shukadev Goswami has already established that there are many avatars, ete chang shakala pungsha, Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. But Krishna is the origin of all of them. He is Purna avatar. He is full of all opulences. And Maharaj Parikshit had a very special intimate relationship. He explained that Arjuna was Maharaj Parikshit's grandfather, and Subhadra, the sister of Krishna, born of Devaki and Vasudev, was the grandmother of Maharaj Parikshit. But not like the grandmother and grandfather that we have. Because like Krishna, Subhadra, who is the Lord's own pleasure potency, never aged. She was a grandmother and she still looked like a nice teenage transcendental personality. Navayovanam cha. As did Krishna. When Maharaj Parikshit's grandfather, Arjuna, was sitting on the chariot with Krishna, Prabhupada said he was over 120 years old at the time, and he looked like he was 20 years old. Because his body is Sachidananda Vigraha. It is not under the laws of material nature. It is not subjected to the influence of time, but rather Krishna is controlling time. We are all controlled by time, but Krishna is the controller of time. So Parikshit Maharaj, how he was so eager to hear about Krishna, so greedy to hear about Krishna. He explained to Shukadeva Goswami that Krishna, he saved my grandfather Arjuna, even from the greatest warriors such as Bina, Bhishma and Drona, who are all like crocodiles and sharks and Timangila fish in that great ocean of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And when Maharaj Parikshit was in the womb of his mother, he had the darshan of Krishna, who came and saved him from the deadly brahmastra of Ashwatthama. Please narrate to me the wonderful pastimes of Krishna. Explain to me his birth and his activities. Explain to me how Baladev Shankarshan, his original expansion, appeared as the son of Rohini. I am anxious to hear these wonderful, wonderful topics. Shukadev Goswami was so pleased to hear Maharaj Parikshit's inquiries. Munaya sadu prishtavaham bhavadbir lokamangalam yat kripa krishna samprashno yenatma suprasidati. Because such topics are of the ultimate benefit for all living beings. Three types of people get liberated by hearing Krishna Katha. The one who speaks, the one who inquires and hears, and all those people who happen to be listening. All three become liberated if they sincerely hear from the proper source the narration of the subjects of Krishna, the all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead. By the time Maharaj Shukadeva Goswami had begun the 10th canto, several days of Maharaj Parikshit's fast had already gone by. Today is Janamastami. So it is recommended we fast till midnight. Some of you are probably already suffering from hunger and thirst, just thinking, even though it's only 8:30 in the morning, just thinking that you have to fast till midnight, you're already making your plans and watching the clock, second hand, minute hand, hour hand. Maharaj Parikshit had already no sleeping, and some of you are also falling asleep because you were late last night. Maharaj Parikshit had already, for many days, it was already the 10th canto, and he's explaining to Shukadeva Goswami that these narrations of yours are fresher and ever new. I am becoming more and more enlivened with everything you speak. I am completely forgotten, disinterested in my fasting and in my giving up of sleep. I am so satisfied just hearing Hari Katha. I have no desire for food or sleep. Please go on with this narration. Srila Prabhupada considered this narration of Shukadeva Goswami describing the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam very important. When he was living in Vrindavan, he began this monumental work of translating the entire Srimad Bhagavatam into the English language. The most accessible medium within the world is the English language. And painstakingly, how he was going through the Srimad Bhagavatam's translations, transliteration, word for word translation, then the translation. And then he would scrutinizingly and thoroughly study, ponder upon, and digest all the commentaries of all the great acharyas. And then with a prayerful heart full of compassion to all living beings, he would write his purports. And when he completed the first three volumes of the first canto, he had already become 70 years old. And he began to travel across the Atlantic Ocean into the United States of America. And while he was there, he had heart attacks. So much time and energy trying to train these young, inexperienced people how to be Vaishnavas. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he writes, I do not know how much time I will have, whether I will have the Krishna will give me enough lifespan to finish the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. So at that time, he wrote a summary study of the 10th canto, and he named it Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he writes in the preface, an introduction, that this is very important, that the devotees should have this literature. They should be able to hear and chant the wonderful glories of Krishna's pastimes as he manifested when he appeared on this earth. George Harrison, one of the members of the most famous musical band perhaps in the history of the Western world, the Beatles, he was very much impressed by Srila Prabhupada. He understood that there was no one who was doing greater service to humanity than Srila Prabhupada. So he agreed to sponsor the printing of this wonderful book, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada was so pleased with him that he personally bestowed so much mercy and blessing. When Srila Prabhupada was in his last days, living in Vrindavan, making his final preparations to return back to the spiritual world, he had a ring that one devotee had given him. Long, many years he wore this ring, and he took off the ring and said to one of his servants, "Give this to George." He was thinking of him just before he left his body, wanting to offer his blessings and his love, because he helped him to make this wonderful narration of Krishna's pastimes available to the whole world. Srila Prabhupada ki. If we have the time and you desire, I was considering going through Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book for some time and summarizing each story. Would you like to do? If you would like to do, please say Hari Bol. I will try with your blessings and the divine grace of my Guru Maharaj to repeat his most sanctified words. Shukadev Goswami describes how great demons like Kamsa, Jarasandha, Shalva, Ondraka, Babida, and so many others were burdening the earth with their exploitative activities. And Mother Earth, who exists simply to serve the Lord and offer all the fruits of her own nature for the satisfaction of the Lord, finds great pain when people are literally stealing away her property in the form of everything that exists on this earth and exploiting it for their own interest. Because all the gold, all the jewels, all the trees and the wood and the paper of the wood, all the vegetables and fruits and the grains, everything that Mother Earth is producing, she is doing as an offering to Krishna, her beloved Lord. But unscrupulous people, they take the property of Krishna right from Mother herself, literally raping her of her offerings to the Lord, and simply take it for their own selfish purposes. And even use those things to create cruelty and violence to others. So Mother Earth took the form of a cow, and she approached Lord Brahma and explained to him her lamentable condition. Because one cannot approach the Supreme Lord directly. And ultimately it's only Krishna that can satisfy the problems of this world, no one else. If you're sleeping, please stand. It is only Krishna that can save us. And we must approach those who are dear to Krishna. We must approach the spiritual master in order that our prayers are properly heard by the Lord. So Lord Brahma, along with the Mother Earth in the form of the cow, began to go to the ocean of milk. And all of the demigods began to follow, such as Lord Shiva, Indra, Vayu, Surya, Agni. From the shore of the ocean of milk, some distance is the beautiful Vaikuntha Loka within this universe called Svetadvip, where Kshirodakshayi Vishnu resides. Brahma, on behalf of all the devatas, began to offer their prayer, his prayers. And then Krishna spoke through his heart, Tene Brahma Hridaya Yaada Kavaye. And Brahma began to explain what he had heard. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in his original form, is going to descend within this earth in the Yadu dynasty as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. And all of you demigods, you should also take birth in the Yadu dynasty to assist him in his wonderful pastimes of annihilating the miscreants, reestablishing the principles of religion, and protecting his devotees. When Brahma heard this and spoke to the demigods in great joy, they all returned to their respective abodes and began to make arrangements to assist the Lord in his pastimes. Meanwhile, in the great land of Mathura, there was a marriage ceremony, the province of Surasen. Vasudev was marrying Devaki. Vasudev was the son of Surasen, and Devaki was the daughter of the king Devaka. And it was a wonderful, wonderful, jubilant celebration. And when it came to the time when the bride was to be brought to the bridegroom's home, the cousin brother of Devaki, whose name was Kamsa, he volunteered that, I want to please you, Devaki. I want to make you happy. Let me drive your chariot. Such an honor. Ugrasena was the king of Mathura, and Kamsa was his son. He was the prince. For him to take such a humble position, to drive the chariot for his sister, was really an act of great, great affection. But we learn through this story what is the nature of material affection. It can change into wrath if one's sense gratification is opposed. So as he was driving the chariot, an unembodied voice was heard in the sky. It was actually the demigods who wanted to expedite Krishna's coming to this world. And this voice proclaimed, "Kamsa, you are a fool. You do not know that the eighth child of your sister will be the cause of your death." When Kamsa heard this, he became ferocious. He grabbed his sister by the hair with his left hand, and he drew his sword with his right hand, and he was about to sever her head. At that time, Vasudeva was pleading with Kamsa, with a great sober and loving mood, that you should not do this. After all, we are not these bodies. The bodies are always changing. Due to our previous karma, we have a certain destiny, and just like a traveler walks and puts one foot in front of another, in front of another, in the same way we are giving up one body and accepting another, giving up one body and accepting another. And if we cause cruelty to another being, we will degrade ourselves. We will lose all our fortune. We will lose all the dignity of our fame. And we will have to suffer a terrible hellish birth. So you should not be afraid of destiny. You should be kind to your sister. And he was preaching nice philosophy. But a person who is too much attached to the bodily conception of life is not able to hear when his sense gratification is threatened. So then Vasudev promised Kamsa, "You have nothing to fear from Devaki. It is her eighth child. I solemnly promise to you, with my word of honor, that I will give to you each child that is born of Devaki, and you can do what you want." Kamsa knew that Vasudeva was a man of honor. This is the glory of a Vaishnava. The integrity of their life, the honor of their words, is so deep and great that even this terrible Rakshasa demon Kamsa had complete faith in the word of Vasudev. A Vaishnav should behave in such a way that everyone honors. The six Goswamis had explained, even the gentle and the ruffians, they trusted the Goswamis because they knew they had no selfish motivations. They had nothing to fear. They only spoke and lived by the truth. The first child was born. His name was Kirtiman. And Vasudeva brought that child to Kamsa. And Kamsa was so happy. "You are bringing your child. Such dedication to your word. I have no fear from this child. It is the eighth child. So you bring him home and you be happy." So Vasudeva brought the child home to Devaki. But in his mind he understood you can never trust one who cannot control his senses. At that time, Narada Muni appeared. Narada Muni, he is the most merciful. He understood that there were six sons of Marichi who were cursed to take birth as demons. And when they are killed by Kamsa, they will take birth in Devaki's womb. They will go back to their heavenly planets. In fact, eventually they will go back to Godhead. There's a beautiful story later on in Bhagavatam. Devaki told Krishna that you brought the dead son of Sandipani Muni, your guru, back. Can you bring my six children back? So he brought them back. And then she had such parental affection for them, she began to feed them the milk from her body. But before Devaki sent Krishna across the Jamuna to Vrindavan, she wanted to make sure he was well fed. So she fed Krishna the milk from her body. So the milk from her body was Krishna Prasad. So these six sons of Marichi, who had to take birth as demons, the grandchildren of Hiranyakashipu, and then from the womb of Devaki, when she fed them her milk, they became completely purified by Krishna's prasadam and was eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. So Narada Muni, he knows Trikalagya, past, present, and future, by the mercy of the Lord. And he understood Krishna's plan. And even though so many people may misunderstand his motives and his purposes, he is completely renounced and detached and is simply interested in fulfilling Krishna's desire. This is renunciation. To renounce eating and to renounce sleeping and renounce family life, this is an external type of renunciation. But to be willing to be completely misunderstood and to appear to be cruel by people in general, just to do what the Lord wants you to do, that is a greater form of renunciation. So Narada Muni said to Kamsa that you let this child go? You should know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is coming to kill you. In fact, he's already killed you. In your last life, you were Kalanemi, and that Supreme Lord Krishna killed you in that birth, and he's come to kill you again. And your most vicious, terrible enemies, the demigods, he has already ordered them to all take birth in the Yadu dynasty and all over the world. And then Narada Muni left, playing on his veena, chanting the holy names of the Lord. Kamsa was outraged. He immediately had Vasudeva and Devaki arrested and put in prison in metal shackles, chains. And then he had the child killed. And then he took over the throne of Maharaj. He took his own father, Ugrasena, and put him in prison. And took the crown and sat on the throne. Such a vicious person. And he decided that every child of Devaki would be killed. Six children were killed by Kamsa. And then Krishna sent his original expansion of Shankarshan into the womb of Devaki. He instructed Yogamaya to transfer that child, who was Baladev himself, into the womb of Rohini, who was living in Gokul with Nanda Maharaj, and that she should take birth as the daughter of Jashoda Devi. And after this wonderful transaction took place, Krishna himself appeared within the womb of Devaki. And how he did so was a wonderful story. First, he appeared within the heart of Vasudev. And Vasudev, from within his own mind, which is situated in the heart, had the beautiful darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Vasudev became brilliant, effulgent, and totally blissful. And from the heart of Vasudev, the Supreme Lord transferred himself into the heart of Devaki and entered into her womb. And she became so beautiful And she became so brilliant, lustrous, and so happy, blissful, that everyone around could understand that the Supreme Lord has taken shelter within her womb. And when Kamsa saw Devaki, he knew, the child who is to kill me has come. But I cannot kill my sister. I must wait till the child is born and immediately murder it. He had guards very strictly watching carefully. At that time, the demigods, headed by Brahma and Shiva, they all came and they gathered around Devaki, and they began to offer prayers to the child within the womb. Beautiful, beautiful prayers. Within these prayers contains the very essence of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And after the demigods offer their prayers, they return to their respective abode. And then the auspicious moment approached. The star of Rohini ascended. It was a night when the moon was not to be, but because Krishna was to appear in the Yadu dynasty, which is the descendants of Chandra, the moon appeared full just to celebrate the wonderful, wonderful appearance of Krishna. And then all of the lakes and the rivers and the streams, they became jubilant and began to have beautiful lotus flowers to welcome the Lord. And all the trees throughout the world began to offer beautiful, beautiful, fragrant fruits and flowers. And the Brahmins, who were so much harassed by Kamsa, became very peaceful in mind. And the whole world became jubilant. And it was at that time, at midnight, that Krishna appeared. From the womb of Devaki, he appeared before them in a beautiful form. He had four arms. He had a wonderful helmet and a garland and beautiful, dazzling jewelry. And Vasudeva and Devaki both prayed to the Lord. Devaki prayed that if you are to be seen in this form, Kamsa will certainly recognize you and he may harm you. So please take the form of an ordinary child. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead spoke. And he explained that you have been my mother and father many times. Long ago, your name was Sutapa in Prishni. And you performed great, great tapasya for 12,000 celestial years. At that time, I appeared before you. And I offered you any benediction, and you desired not liberation, but you desired to serve me by loving me as my parents. So from your womb, as Prishni, I became that great incarnation of Godhead, Prishni Garbha. And in your next births, you became Kashyapa in Aditi. And I took birth as your son, Upendra. Because I was a little dwarf, I was also known as Vamanadev. And now for the third time, you have taken your form of Devaki and Vasudev, and I will appear in my original form of Krishna. But on this very night, Vasudev, you should take me across the Jamuna to Gokul Dham. And there you should exchange me with the daughter that was just born of Yashoda Rani. Bring her back here. Then the Lord appeared in the beautiful form of a little infant baby. And the shackles came off Vasudev. And all the guards and everyone in Mathura fell fast asleep. And all the gates and doorways opened. And Vasudev very carefully began to bring the child out of the prison, out of the castle complex. When he came to the river Jamuna, it was storming rain, torrents and torrents of rain. But Anantashesha appeared as an umbrella to protect Vasudeva and the child from even one drop of rain. Bridge across it. In the same way, the river Jamuna made a passageway so that Vasudev could easily and comfortably walk through her waters. Yashoda Mai, she was so much tired from giving the birth to the child, she forgot to even see whether it was a male or female, and she fell asleep. So Vasudev took the child and exchanged. Of course, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes from Puranas that in truth, Yashoda Rani gave birth to twins, a male and female, Krishna and Yogamaya. And when Vasudev brought Krishna, that Krishna merged into the Krishna that was already born to Yashoda Rani. Because Yashoda Rani's Krishna is the original Shamsundar Krishna. The Vasudev Krishna entered into its rightful position. And then he took the girl and brought it back to the prison and put back his shackles. And then the child began to cry and woke the guards. And within moments, Kamsa appeared, the eighth child of Devaki. The seventh child appeared as a miscarriage. That was Baladev. This was the child that Kamsa was fearing. He was fearing so much that he could not eat or sleep practically. He was completely engrossed in anxiety, worrying about Krishna. In this way, he was Krishna conscious in an unfavorable way. Not to serve Krishna, but to kill Krishna. And Devaki pleaded that this is a daughter. You have nothing to fear of a daughter. And Kamsa ruthlessly took the daughter out of her arms and went to smash her against a rock. But Yogamaya Devi very gracefully floated into the sky and appeared in her form of Durga Devi with many, many arms and weapons, riding on a beautiful lion. And she said to Kamsa, "You are a rascal. The child who is meant to kill you is already born somewhere else." And then she disappeared. She said, "Why? Why are you causing so much problem to Vasudev and Devaki?" And Kamsa was shocked. He didn't know what to do. But then he became very repentant because there was nothing he could do. So then he began to apologize to Vasudev and Devaki. "I'm very sorry. But actually, it was your karma, because everything happens by karma. But still, I'm very sorry that I had done like this to you. Please forgive me." And Vasudev said, "Yes, yes, it was our destiny. We forgive you completely." And then Kamsa allowed Vasudev and Devaki to go. They were free. Meanwhile, the next morning, the Brijbasi saw that after a long, long time, a child was finally born to Nanda and Yashoda. They wanted a child for many years, but they were not able to have a child. There is a place in Nandagaon where there is a deity of Lord Shiva, that it is explained that Vasudev, his father, they worship this deity in order Vasudev's father, or Nanda Maharaj's father, Parajanya was his name. He worshipped in order so his son would have a child. And so many prayers to the Supreme Lord. So alas, the moment everyone was waiting for had arrived. The most beautiful, charming embodiment of all attraction appeared as the son of Nanda and Yashoda. And they celebrated Nandotsava. Big, big festival. Wonderful festival. They called the Brahmins to chant mantras. They had abhishek to the child. They started bathing him with cow dung and cow urine and milk and yogurt and ghee. This is called panchagavya. And then they bathed him in panchamrita, which is ghee and milk and yogurt and honey and sugar. And they began, the Brijabasis began to play various instruments and sing so many wonderful songs. And Nanda Maharaj began to give big, big piles of grains and charity to Brahmins. And he began to give cows all decorated with gold and silver hooves and horns and beautiful silken garments to the Brahmins. And the festivities were so wonderful. The astrologers came and they began making their calculations and they started explaining the whole future of the life of this child and all of the auspicious signs he was born under. And in the festival, they began, the people of Vrindavan began to smear the child with yogurt mixed with turmeric and oil and milk and water. It was very auspicious. And then they began to throw it on each other. And they started throwing this. And soon they started throwing butter on each other and yogurt and so many other products of the cows, which are so auspicious and purifying. And as the music was playing and the devotees were chanting and singing, they were throwing butter and all sorts of other nice cow products all over each other. And the cowherd men and cowherd girls were having wonderful, wonderful pastimes in this way. And Srila Prabhupada just said, this is the opulence of Vrindavan. Although they were just herding cows and they were just plowing fields and growing grains, they had so much jewels and because they would trade what they would have surplus of, and they had so much beautiful dresses that they could even throw their ghee on each other. Prabhupada said, this is opulence. This wonderful, wonderful festival took place. And everyone's hearts were simply, simply attracted by Krishna. After this, Nanda Maharaj had to pay his taxes. So he had to go to Mathura. And while he was there, he decided he would visit Vasudev, who was temporarily released from his confinement. And when Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj met each other, there was so much love, so much affection between them. They embraced with their hearts, with their arms. And Vasudev was very much concerned about Krishna and Balaram because they were his own children. But he could not disclose this to Nanda Maharaj. He asked Nanda Maharaj that my son Balaram, how is he keeping? You are so kind that you are taking care of him in my absence and taking care of my wife, Rohini. And what about this other child? And he began to inquire about what is the situation in Vrindavan, because he was very much interested that Krishna and Balaram were safe from the atrocities of Kamsa. He had already lost his 6 children. His 7th child he was never even able to see. And his 8th child, finally, after so many long years, finally a child lived And that very night, he had to bring him to Nanda Maharaj. He was not allowed to enjoy any of the wonderful, wonderful exchanges of a parent to his baby. Vasudev told Nanda Maharaj that, please, you should return to Vrindavan very fast, because there are many dangers. Please be very careful to protect these children. So Nanda Maharaj immediately began to go back to Gokul. And in his mind he was thinking, Vasudev is a very, very learned and great soul. And if he is saying there must be dangers in Vrindavan, we should go back very fast. Meanwhile, Kamsa, he explained to his ministers what happened when Durga Devi told him that the child is born somewhere else and he will kill you. And he explained how he let Vasudeva and Devaki go, and his ministers were very, very bad people. They said to Kamsa, you should not do this. You are the greatest king. We should kill all the children born everywhere. And not only that, but we must keep Devaki and Vasudeva in prison. And we must harass the Brahmins and persecute the Vaishnavas. Because after all, you have nothing to fear from the demigods, because Kamsa, you single-handedly can destroy the lives of all the demigods. They are all fearful of you. And as far as Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, Vishnu is hiding in everyone's heart. You have nothing to worry about him. And Shiva, he's so detached, he's out in the forest performing tapasya. He's completely detached from the affairs of this world. And Brahma, he's the progenitor, the original Prajapati of everything. He has to engage in all the affairs of the whole universe. He's too busy to fight with you. So you have nothing to fear. You are the greatest. You are our Lord. You are our Master. When you lift your sword, the whole universe trembles. So Kamsa, in this bad association, he became very, very angry, furious and cruel. And he ordered the Rakshasas to persecute the Brahmins, to destroy the lives and the yajnas of the Vaishnavas and the Brahmins, and to create havoc everywhere, and to kill all children that were born in the recent past and in the near future. And then he had Vasudeva and Devaki put back in prison. One of Kamsa's associates was a Rakshasi, and her name was Putana. And she was a witch that is called Kechari. Kechari means that they can fly in the sky on the branch of an uprooted tree. Prabhupada said there are still Kechari witches in northwest India who are flying on such branches. And she was very fond of sucking the blood of innocent newborn babies. And she was wandering through the countryside, here, there, and everywhere, simply killing every baby that was born and drinking their blood. She was wicked. And when she heard a child was born to Nanda and Yashoda, she appeared in Gokul. But by her mystic power, she changed her Rakshasi form into a beautiful, beautiful lady. Wonderfully dressed, with a very shapely body, beautiful face, aromatic flowers, wonderful jewelry. And when she came into Gokul, the inhabitants of Gokul were so impressed by seeing her, they thought maybe some goddess of fortune is coming to bless our child. They felt so honored by her presence. And she walked right into the place of Yashoda, and there she looked at Krishna. And Krishna looked at her. And then he closed his eyes. Many reasons it is explained why he may have closed his eyes. One is that he came to annihilate demons. And this is the first demon he was going to annihilate, and it was in the form of a woman. And according to Vedic Shastra, you're never ever supposed to kill a child, a Brahmin, or a woman. And he had to kill this woman. It is also explained that he closed his eyes because he was not able to see so much, because he was a little boy. He was playing that leela. Anyways, when Putana saw Krishna, she was so attracted by his beauty. She was thinking, this is the Supreme Personality of God who could destroy everything and everyone by his mere will. But her lower tendencies completely submerged her intelligence, and she became hungry for his blood and had confidence that she could kill him. So she picked up Krishna, and she had smeared her breast with deadly, terrible poison, and she pushed that breast into Krishna's mouth, expecting Krishna to die within seconds. But Krishna sucked, and he sucked the poison, and he even sucked some milk. And he sucked, and he started sucking out her life air. And when she started becoming very painfully weaker and weaker, she tried to pull Krishna off. But he was just holding on and sucking. And then she ran outside of the house, and she started calling out, "Leave me, child, leave me, leave me." And then she resumed her original form, which was 12 miles long. And Krishna kept sucking until he sucked out her life air, and she fell to the ground. And when she fell to the ground, the whole earth shook, and she lay there dead. And the gopis, when they saw Krishna, he was just crawling around very playfully on her body. They ran and picked him up, and they took the tail of a cow and began to make circles around Krishna with the tail of the cow, and they began to smear him with cow dung and cow urine to protect him, and they began to chant so many mantras. And they were thinking that because this terrible witch was so cruel, she died due to her karma. And because Krishna is pious, the Lord saved him. And because we are always giving in charity, and sometimes we are digging wells and growing banyan trees and doing so many pious works, because of all these pious works we have performed, Krishna has fulfilled our desire, or not Krishna, the Supreme Lord Narayan has fulfilled our desire and saved this beautiful child, Krishna. And Putana, when she was laying there, it was an amazing sight. And then Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men just returned from Mathura, and they saw this incredible 12 long body of a dead Rakshasa, and everyone was singing the glories of Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj was thinking that Vasudeva is correct. I must take very good care of this child. And then the Brijabasis cut up her body and burned it. And when they burned it, it smelled very, very sweet, because even though she was so impure, she had sucked the blood and murdered so many thousands and thousands of baby children. Because Krishna touched her body became completely purified. And not only that, because even though she came to kill Krishna, she approached him as mother. So Krishna saw the good in her. He made her suffer the pain of the bad quality within her, but when that was purified, all that was left was her motherly affection. So she was sent to the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, to be the personal assistant of Mother Yashoda and be the mother nurse of Krishna. Shri Bhagavan Krishna ki. Krishna is so merciful, so kind. What other Lord, who else could we worship that is so benevolent as Krishna, who gave Putana the eternal service of being his mother in the spiritual world? When Krishna was a little baby, Yashoda, Rohini, they were always with their little children. And Shukadeva Goswami explains, on Krishna's first birthday, that today is also the anniversary of this pastime, on Krishna's first birthday, so many people were coming to celebrate. And there were Brahmins chanting, and Nanda and Yashoda were giving so much charity to everyone, and so many beautiful songs were being sung, and Yashoda Mai was taking care of all the visitors, and Krishna was falling asleep in her arms, and she wanted to be a nice hostess to all those who were coming. So she laid Krishna very comfortably under a cart. Now a demon of the name Shakatasura actually took the form of this cart just to kill Krishna. And Krishna was laying there sleeping, and then he began to roll around on his back. And he wanted Mother Yashoda, but she wasn't there. So he cried. And as he cried, he kicked his leg. And his leg happened to touch the cart. And the wheel of the cart, just the spokes of the wheels were just broken to pieces, and the wheels separated from the rest of the cart, and the whole cart fell down, and everything, all the wares were scattered everywhere, and it was broken in so many pieces, and the demon was killed. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki. And it made a very, very loud noise, and all of the Brijvasis, they came running. What is this noise? And they saw the cart was broken, all the pots and the pans were everywhere, and there was little Krishna laying. And again they began to think that due to our pious acts and due to the piety of this child, he was protected from being hurt by this fallen cart. And some of the children began to explain that we saw that he kicked his little lotus foot against the wheel and everything fell. And the adult said, that is not possible. He's just a baby. On another occasion, Mother Yashoda was carrying Krishna. And then he became very, very heavy. Heavy. And she couldn't hold him any longer. And she had so many household duties to perform. She would perform her household duties holding Krishna. But on this day it was not possible, so she laid him down. And then another asura sent by Kamsa appeared on the scene. He appeared in the form of a whirlwind. His name was Trinavarta. He started making so much wind that the dust just covered everything and no one could see even their hands in front of their faces. It was complete darkness. Severe winds. And your mother Yashoda was looking for Krishna everywhere, but she couldn't find him. She was so worried that she fell down unconscious, just like a cow that had just lost its calf. Meanwhile, Trinavarta, he brought Krishna on his shoulder and started him taking him higher and higher and higher and higher into the sky. And Krishna started getting heavier and heavier and heavier until soon he was heavier than a mountain. And Trinavarta, Prabhupada said, he had to give up his whirlwind activities. It was so heavy, he was trying to push Krishna off, but Krishna was holding on to his neck, and he couldn't get Krishna off. And finally, he just lost all his strength, and he fell down onto a big rock on the ground, and his whole body was just shattered to pieces. And the residents of Vrindavan, they were just, when they saw Krishna laying there in his terrible Rakshasa, whirlwind demons, broken up, they again just picked up Krishna and they started putting all sorts of mantras on him and doing all sorts of rituals for his protection. Vasudev sent Gargamuni to Vrindavan to perform the name-giving ceremony for Krishna and Balaram. And this took, when Gargamuni arrived, Nanda Maharaj greeted him with such affection and love. He said, "You Brahmins, you are very merciful that we householders, we are always engaged in so much activities to maintain our families that sometimes we forget what is the purpose of life. But you come to our houses in the role of beggars just to give us transcendental knowledge and enlighten us. But please, let us take this opportunity to perform the reformatory ceremonies, the name-giving ceremony, Namakarana, for my two children." Gargamuni said, "If we perform this ceremony, Kamsa will find out, and he will trouble you." So it was decided it would take place very secretly in the cowshed, Goshala. And there Gargamuni explained how the son of Rohini, his name should be Shankarshan, because he has brought the two dynasties together. And he was transferred from the womb of one to the other. And he will also be known as Rama, because he will give great pleasure to all the Brijbasis. And he will be known as Balabhadra or Baladev, because he will take great pleasure in showing the supreme pastimes of strength. So he gave the names Baladev, Balaram, and Shankarshan. And this other child, he said, he has appeared in so many different forms throughout history. In the Satya Yuga, he appeared in the white form. In the Treta Yuga, he appeared in a red form. He also appears in a yellow, golden form, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now he is appearing in this beautiful blackish form. But know that whoever becomes a devotee of this child will be liberated from the cycle of birth and death. Whoever remembers the wonderful pastimes of this child will attain the spiritual world. This child will perform such wonderful activities. He will lift the Govardhan hill. Therefore, his name will be Giridhari. And he is the all-attractive, so his name will be Krishna. But you should take very close care of this child, because Kamsa will be sending so many demons to destroy him. Soon Krishna and Balaram began to crawl. And as they crawled, it was very beautiful. Rohini Devi and Yashoda Devi, they would pick up their children and always be just 24 hours a day trying to satisfy them. And when they see their little teeth growing, they would find joy that knew no bounds. Sometimes the children would crawl up to little calves and pull their tails, and the calves would jump up in fear and start running, and the children would hold on and be dragged through the cow dung and the earth, and Yashoda Mai and Rohini Mai would call all the other gopis, "Come, see the fun," as Krishna was being dragged through the grounds of Vrindavan, and everyone would clap their hands and sing very nicely. And sometimes the gopis, they would pick up Krishna in their arms and they would make him dance just like a little puppet. In this way, Krishna charmed the hearts of all the gopis. In fact, all the gopas and gopis, they loved Krishna more than they loved even their own children, even their own lives. And then they started getting little older, and they began to walk. And after they started being able to use their feet, that's the time they began to do all mischief. Sometimes the gopis would complain that they would come to Mother Yashoda, right in the presence of Krishna and Balaram. They would say, this Krishna, we don't know what to do. He comes with Balaram, so much mischief he does. He comes to our homes, and sometimes he steals our butter and our yogurt, and he eats it. And when we catch him, he says, I didn't do it. Why should I do it? You think my mother and father, Nanda and Yashoda, don't have enough butter and yogurt for me to be satisfied? And other times, Krishna and Balaram, they take the butter and the yogurt and they bring it and distribute it to their friends. And after they all eat it, then they distribute it to the monkeys. And after the monkeys all eat it, then they start throwing it on the ground and breaking the pots and complaining that this yogurt is so useless, even the monkeys don't want it. And sometimes we try to hide it in a dark place, but they have these jewels, and these jewels seem to light up the place, and they find it. So Mother Yashoda said, oh, then I will take off their jewels. And the gopis said, no, do not take off their jewels. No use, because these children are not ordinary. There is a certain effulgence and light that comes off them. No darkness can be in their presence. Sometimes we hide the butter and yogurts, we put it high on rafters, and they take the grinding mortars, and then they put wooden crates and boxes and stack them up and somehow get up to it. And if they can't reach it, they take a stick and poke a hole in the bottom of the pot so everything comes out. And then they eat. And sometimes they pinch our babies and make them cry. And sometimes they pass urine on our floors and they spit on our floors. And then they said, just as we are complaining all these things, look at your little child, Gopal. Look at his face. As we are lodging all these complaints against him, he looks so innocent. He looks so helpless. And then Mother Yashoda looked at him. And as soon as she saw him, she just became so filled with love because he looked so innocent, like he couldn't have done it. That Yashoda could not chastise him. She could only pick him up and began to feed him the milk from her body. And all the gopis, this was simply their loving pastime. It was an excuse to chant the glories of Krishna and Balaram's pastimes. What is the next? In this way, Nanda and Yashoda enjoyed so many wonderful, wonderful experiences with Krishna and Balaram. And Shukadev Goswami explains why they had this opportunity. Previously, they were Drona and Dara. They were two Prajapatis born of Lord Brahma. And they pleased Lord Brahma so much that Lord Brahma gave them the choice of any benediction they so desired. And Drona and Dara, they did not ask for material benedictions. They did not ask for mystic powers or liberation. They only prayed for one benediction. That let the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-attractive Lord, be our child. Let us enjoy the wonderful, wonderful service of assisting him in his childhood pastimes. Let us be completely engrossed in our consciousness in seeing the beautiful childish pastimes of the personality of Godhead. And let it be that whoever hears the pastimes that we perform with baby Krishna, that those people will achieve liberation from all suffering and attain the spiritual world. And Lord Brahma bestowed upon them this benediction. And thus Drona and Dara were always immersed in the ultimate ecstasy of participating in the beautiful pastimes of Balagopal. One time, Krishna and his friends were playing, and Balaram began to complain to Mother Yashoda that Krishna went in a secret place and he ate dirt. And Yashoda Mai was very much worried. Why you have eaten dirt? Krishna said, I have not eaten dirt. We were playing and they became angry with me and they are lodging these lies against me. You just look in my mouth and see if I hadn't eaten dirt. And Yashoda Mai said, you open your mouth. And Krishna opened his mouth. And Mother Yashoda looked inside. And she saw a vision of the entire universe. She saw all the oceans and all the mountains and all the living entities and all the forests and all the trees. She even saw herself feeding Krishna with the milk from her breast. In this way, she understood that Krishna is the supreme cause of all causes. She was thinking that Krishna was in my womb. How is it that this little Krishna is in my womb and within his womb is the entire universe? And she began to offer prayers. Please forgive me for spanking you and for chastising you and for treating you like an ordinary child. You are the all-merciful, all-powerful Lord of the universe. And then Krishna, by the power of his Yogamaya potency, filled Yashoda Rani's heart with so much parental affection that milk just started to pour out of her body. And she just completely forgot what she had seen and began and embraced Krishna and began to feed him with her milk. So one day, it was Diwali, Mother Yashoda was turning butter, special butter, from the best cows of Vrindavan. We will summarize these stories, because it's becoming, we don't want to go all the way till midnight, because there are so many other activities to perform. Krishna was drinking the milk from Mother Yashoda. While she was churning the butter, Krishna started pulling on her, indicating that I want to drink your milk. And you should abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. He didn't say that, but that was his idea. So she began to see the beautiful, beautiful face of Krishna. And she began to feed her milk to Krishna. But meanwhile, she was cooking milk on the stove, and that milk began to boil over. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that that milk was actually living. Everything in Vrindavan is people. Nothing is dead. So the milk was thinking that I'm only existing for Krishna to drink, to make Krishna happy. But now he's drinking Yashoda Mai's milk. And Mother Yashoda has unlimited love for Krishna, therefore she'll have unlimited milk to give Krishna. So he will just go on drinking Mother Yashoda's milk forever. So what is the use of my milk? What is the use of me? He'll never give up Yashoda's milk for me. So there's no use in my existence. So I may as well commit suicide by jumping in fire. So the milk started jumping in the fire. And it appeared that the milk was boiling over. So when Mother Jashoda heard the milk boiling over, she put down Krishna. And she went to stir the milk. But by that time, the milk saw, Yashoda Mai has stopped giving Krishna milk, so there is hope he will drink me. So the milk jumped back from the fire into the pot. But that day, Yashoda Rani's servant was not present, so she had to do so many household chores. But Krishna was very angry. Why my mother has done like this? She has made some other priority over giving me her milk. I will create mischief. So he went over to the pot of butter and he cracked it with a stone and began stealing the butter. Makan chor. And Mother Yashoda came back and she saw Krishna is gone. And Krishna saw Mother Yashoda searching for him, so he ran away. And then she started looking, and there she saw pot broken, butter everywhere. Where is Krishna? Because he was a little, when he would eat butter, it would get all over his body, including his feet. So there was little butter footprints on the floor. So using her transcendental intelligence, she understood, I will find Krishna by following the butter footprints. And she began searching. And when Krishna saw her coming, he was feeding the monkeys and everyone butter. And then she started chasing after Krishna. Krishna was behind a wooden grinding mortar, feeding to so many monkeys. And when Mother Yashoda saw him and he saw her, he started running away. And she began to run with him. She was thinking, I must punish him because he must learn not to do like this. If I do not teach him, who will teach him? Who can catch Krishna? Who is faster than the fastest, bigger than the biggest, smaller than the smallest, who is unapproachable even by the great jnanis who study the shastras for many lifetimes, who cannot be reached even by the great yogis who perform tapasyas for millions of births. Who is it that can reach Krishna? But Mother Yashoda, because of her motherly love, Krishna allowed himself to be caught by her. And she had so many other activities to perform that day, and she was afraid, Krishna is so small. And he's so mischievous. He could get hurt if he runs around and does all these things. After all, in Brajbhumi, there's bulls with big horns. And there's monkeys with teeth and claws. And there's so many hard stones and thorns in the ground. So just for Krishna's safety, she decided to tie him to a wooden grinding mortar. But when she went to tie him, the rope was 2 fingers too small. So she got more rope and tied it. And it was 2 fingers too small. And again and again. And soon she called the other gopis of Brajbhumi, and they all came. And they all started supplying all beautiful, wonderful, colored, different colors of ropes. And they were all tying it, and every time they tied more and more, it was still 2 fingers too short. And they were just singing the glories of Krishna and chanting in great love. And Mother Yashoda was working so hard trying to bind Krishna that the flowers were falling from her head. And her sari was becoming loosened. And Krishna saw that the motherly of affection of Yashoda was so great that he agreed to be bound by that affection. In the form of a rope, Yashoda's devotion bound Krishna by the waist. And therefore he is celebrated eternally by the name of Damodar, which means one who is bound by the waist of Mother Yashoda. She went back to perform her activities. All of her activities, of course, were simply for the service and pleasure of Krishna throughout the household. And Gopal began to think, now I will be more mischievous than ever. Just see what I will do. And he began to crawl. And as he crawled, this big, big grinding mortar began to drag behind him. And he saw these two Arjuna trees. Big, 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 big trees. And he crawled between them. And the grinding mortar got stuck. So he pulled. And the two trees went crashing down, making a very, very, very tumultuous sound throughout all of Brajbhumi. And from those trees, two celestial beings came out.
And because of their wealth and prestige and beauty, physical beauty, they were very proud. And they would like to enjoy with beautiful young ladies. So one day they were in the Mandakini Ganga with these young ladies, and Narada Muni came. And the ladies, they understood that we are all naked. This is not good. So they put on their clothes. But Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, they were so puffed up and intoxicated living in their heavenly abode. They were near Kailash, the abode of Shiva, that they paid no respect or regard to Narada Muni. So out of his great mercy, he cursed them. You take birth as trees in Gokul. And after hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years living as trees, standing naked, you will learn your lesson.
You like to stand naked so much, then you become trees and you stand naked. But by Narada's curse, they were allowed to witness the beautiful childish pastimes of Krishna and became completely purified and surrendered to Krishna and returned to their heavenly abode. Meanwhile, the residents of Vrindavan came to the site, and when they saw these trees, broken, big, big trees, they were wondering, what happened? What happened? And how is this possible?
And the little children said, we saw. Krishna pulled the grinding mortar through these trees and it broke, and then these two very, very celestial, beautiful demigods came out and started surrendering to Krishna and offering prayers to him.
And the elderly gopas and gopis, they could not believe, how is this possible? Krishna is just our child.
No doubt, he is extraordinary.
But by Krishna's yoga maya potency,
they can only see him in parental affection. After this, on another occasion,
in Gokul,
a fruit vendor
began to call out,
does anyone want to buy my fruits?
So Krishna wanted fruits.
So he used to see his mother shopping. They didn't have money in those days.
They used barter system.
So in Vrindavan, grains and milk was what was grown by the Brijvasis. So he filled his hands with grains and he went running out. But because his hand was so small, all the grains fell out except for just a few. And he offered it to the fruit vendor. And when the fruit vendor looked at Krishna, she saw he was so beautiful. Her heart was so charmed that even though he had nothing to offer her, she spontaneously filled his arms with all the most ripened fruits that he could hold. And then she turned around and she saw her simple fruit basket no longer had fruits in it, but it was overbrimming, filled up with the most precious jewels. The moral of this story is, whatever you offer to Krishna, do not think you will be the loser, but you will gain hundreds and millions and trillions of times. To please Krishna is the ultimate wealth in all of existence. One day, Krishna and Balaram were playing with friends, and it was lunchtime, and Mother Yashoda came. No, Mother Yashoda sent Rohini first. And Rohini arrived, and Rohini Mai said, "Krishna Balaram, it is time for your lunch, please come." But Krishna and Balaram were so happy playing with their friends that they ignored Rohini. So Rohini Devi understood that actually Yashoda Mai has more affection than me. The power of her love can bring them back. So she told Mother Yashoda, "They will not come. Only you can bring them back." So Yashoda Mai came and she said, "Krishna Balaram, it is time to take your baths. You must come home now. What do you think you are, just street boys that you just play all day? You come home. Everything is ready for you." So then Krishna and Balaram started, they left their friends. They began going with their mother. But then their friends became very angry. They said, "Why? We are just at the summit of our play. It's the best time of our games, and you're leaving now? We will never allow you to play with us again." So they became very afraid of this threat from their friends, and they ran away from Mother Yashoda and began playing again. Shishirada Gopinachi ki. So when Mother Yashoda saw they were still playing, she came back and she began to scold them. She said, "Look, you are all covered with dirt. It is time for your baths. And besides this, Nanda Maharaj will not eat until you come. He is fasting until you take prasad with him. So please do not keep your father waiting. And Krishna, today is your birthday. Today is also the anniversary of this pastime. So you must come and you must give charity to the Brahmins." So Krishna and Balaram came home, and Yashoda Mai performed beautiful abhishek for Krishna and dressed him in beautiful, beautiful cloth. And the Brahmins came and chanted mantras, and they started giving so many gifts and so much charity away. According to Vedic culture, this is the way people would celebrate their birthdays, by giving charity and giving gifts to the Brahmins, giving facilities to the Vaishnavas, having wonderful kirtans. The birthday was a day of giving. And Mother Yashoda was teaching Krishna how to be charitable. After Nala Kuvera and Manugriva were delivered and these big, big trees fell and almost fell on Krishna, at that time there was a meeting called. Nanda Maharaj's brothers, his eldest brother was Upananda. There was Upananda, Abhinanda, Sunanda, Ananda, and Nanda. Yes, five brothers. They were all very blissful. So Upananda was presenting his feelings that this Gokul is very dangerous. Putana, that big, big Rakshashi rich, almost killed Krishna. And then this cart almost fell on Krishna.
And again, that giant, giant whirlwind demon came by Kamsa to kill Krishna. And now these big, big Arjuna trees have fallen. I think this place is no longer safe. We should leave Mahavan Gokul and we should go to the Vrindavan forest. Because that is very nice. The river Jamuna flows very beautifully in Vrindavan. And the beautiful hill Govardhan will supply so much water and grasses to our cows. I think we should at once put everything on our ox carts and move our community to Vrindavan forest. So everyone agreed, and there was a wonderful, wonderful festivity as all the Brijabasis loaded everything on the carts led by oxen, and Rohini and Yashoda was on one cart holding their little children, Krishna and Balaram, and they went to Vrindavan, and they began to circumambulate the Vrindavan area, and all the while everyone was simply singing the beautiful pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. After some time, Krishna was given charge of taking care of the calves with his friends, these small calves.